And so we have learned because he has come and gone. We have learned because now we're back in the fathership degree. We're living in the age of the fathership. It's not Jesus our Son, it's God the Father. We're praying to the Father directly, those that have the mystery hid in their hearts. They don't pray to the Son now. They don't go through Mother Mary. They go to God. Hallelujah. And so Jesus would have done well if he'd closed the Bible and not said, "This day is it fulfilled in your midst." Thing to have him done was to read the Bible and reached out over the audience and called somebody out with a cancer and healed them. You understand the mystery? Some of you don't understand the mystery. Some of you don't even know you're in church tonight. It said, after Jesus said, "This day the Spirit of God is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor," that means to give good news to the poor. Well, the thing you ought to have done was to come in with some food. Not said anything. Or if he did indeed say it after he had finished it there in the Luke, the fourth chapter, in Matthew about the third chapter, he should have then just at the end of his sermon should have said, "This day I'm the one." He should have not said that, but just said, "Bring out the food. We're all going to share and have food here." And the poor would have got the message. And if he said, "Then indeed, I'm here to heal the brokenhearted," if he reached out like I have done in every meeting and healed somebody of cancer or took the crippling diseases away or opened up the blinded eyes or took in little poor children and our older, lonely people and gave them homes, everybody would know that he was there to heal the brokenhearted. But he got his words ahead of his actions and they nearly threw him over a cliff. He got his words before his actions and they nearly killed him. And a whole lot of you here always have got your mouth before your actions. If I meet some of you on the street, the way you act and the way you act in your homes, because I'm televising you every day. I spent the day in meditation. I've been watching, going from one kitchen to one bedroom or one job to another. Just sent my x-ray vision here, there, and everywhere. Been looking all over Los Angeles and surrounding parts. And I've been looking in some of these places. And if some of you were to tell me you'd met Jesus, I'd have said, "You're a fool." See somebody come to blows nearly with somebody on the job. See somebody else beating their child around the face. See somebody else stealing something in the store. Then you tell somebody you've met Jesus? You say, "You've been talking about meeting Jesus, but you don't know it." You did. You've been talking about it, but you did. Now, beloved, we are going to get on with this work because I want to protect you. And if I don't protect you, believe me, there's nobody else going to do. Because I'm here in the name of Jesus. We've got a work to do. We've got to restore the temple. We've got to get the presses to get the word out. Because if we build up a fence around us, you heard the song that they've sung, that this sister had inscribed by my spirit in her mind, and she wrote that song, "Fathers Build a Fence Around Us." Well, part of that fence is the press. That'll protect you. When they come for other blacks, browns, and poor whites, my press will be a fence around you. It will be like an umbrella, like it was the cloud that followed the children through the Egypt land, a cloud by day and a fire by night. I'll have a cloud of the press to protect you. The cloud of newspapers will protect you if you'll get on to it. Now, I want every one of you to get a project and get on with these promotion campaigns to raise funds so that I can protect you, because they're going to come from the high seat of power. Spiritual wickedness in high places is going to come to take people and put them in jails. Right now, they're trying to get an executive order passed that will empower the President of this United States to put people in concentration camps without one consultation with Congress. Now, it won't happen to you, but you've got to cooperate with me. You want to be free? Then cooperate with me. I'm surprised always at people who are like me, who are just black as I am. I'm surprised at them every once in a while. I say, well, there's no going to happen here. You remember Grandma? It happened to Grandma. I guess those chains that they were in were real. I guess Harriet Tubman, when she was trying to protect one of her, just a slave comrade, and they hit her in the head with a steel weight, one of those old steel weights that they had in the old wagon days, hit her in the head and caused her brain never to function quite right at times because she'd go to sleep, that great body of God in that day, Harriet Tubman, she'd go to sleep sitting at the wagon. She'd sleep for 10 hours. Nobody could ever do anything for her after that white man hit her in the head with that steel weight because she was trying to save, put her body between him and beating a slave. But Harriet Tubman, don't tell her about, don't tell some of our loved ones, our relatives, don't tell them that it won't happen. Because Harriet Tubman had a price on her head and had to steal through the night the Underground Railroad. She had to work hard to get 300 people to freedom. Spent all of her life just getting 300 people to freedom. It wasn't easy. She had a lot of unbelievers too. Her husband said, I like it here. I like to sit down. She let him sit down. Said, I will be free. She left her husband. Her brothers wouldn't come along. She left them sit down. Her family wouldn't come along. There was nobody but her. She said, I'm not going to be a slave for no one. And she had to slide and crawl like a snake through the night, but she got through and made it to freedom. She loved Mr. Tubman very much, but he didn't love freedom, and she loved freedom more than she did Mr. Tubman. That's why people say, well, you're supposed to love people's temple and father more. Yes, it means you should love freedom more. You should love freedom more than your old lady or your old man any day. So my old man's working for freedom. Is he working for freedom like we are? Or is he feeding his belly? Sitting up with a beer in front of the TV? Or snoozing every night while you wash the dishes? Now, who loves freedom the most? Now, you have to make up your mind. I know without even asking the question, but you've got to make up your mind. You've got to put up before whoever you put up uppermost in your mind should be the one that follows God or freedom the most. You know your old man wouldn't lift a finger if they come to get you. He'd let them take you to jail. I'm not talking about those in the household of faith, but you know a whole lot of you, you're married to a man or a woman that wouldn't lift their finger. They come for you and say, I don't know him. That's what Harriet Tubman's husband did. He said, I'm not with her. And she had to crawl like a snake to get to freedom. And she crawled back after she got to freedom 96 times to bring out 300 people. Crossed that line from Maryland into freedom. But her heart would not be content because there were some people still back there that didn't have freedom. So she'd crawl back through there at night, dress up like a man, be beat, and sometimes she'd dress up and she'd stoop, her body would stoop from the weight of slavery, but she'd manage to straighten up her back with all of her painful arthritis and dress herself as an elegant colonial white woman, be in a carriage. She could cook up more deals, and she'd have 20 slaves on the floor of that carriage. That was Harriet Tubman. People want to follow all these old religious jacklegs. Somebody said they want to put a picture of Jesus on the wall. I said, put a picture of Harriet. Then I'll put a picture of Jesus when you put a picture of Harriet on the wall. Harriet was a grand, grand woman. She's walking down the road, and some of her relatives, she's walking down the road with them, so she had some of her relatives along. They decided, we can't go no more, Harriet, we're not going. She put her old trusted revolver up the head. She said, move or die. Because I told you what she did with the Bible. I shan't repeat that. Maybe one more time. Because then you'll have to lock it up in your heart. Preacher got her in a meeting, you know, and said to Harriet, you got no business being up here talking. Because the Bible said women keep silent in the churches. It says slaves are to obey their master. But the preacher was preaching. This was an old jackleg that was in the master's servant, and he had everything going for him. He was a spy for the colonial master, and the old jackleg said, you're to obey your master. She said, well, you don't know how bad it is out here in the fields. She said, why should I obey the master? Said, the Bible says so, the Word of God. She said, well, where, get it out and show it to me. He got it out, the book. She said, this is the Word of God? Word from God, huh? She put it up to her ear. Said, don't say nothing to me. Because indeed, that's the truth. This letter will kill you. It says that this very 2 Corinthians 3, 6 says the letter, the Bible, letter to Romans, letter to Corinthians, the letter will kill you, the letter will murder you. Bible's murder, but spirit, freedom, God is love, God is truth, God is freedom. Freedom will make you alive. She said, I don't hear nothing. She said, oh, Harriet, you're being sacrilegious. She said, you said it's a word of God. Now I want to hear it talk. Because I heard you say what it says, and if you say what it says, it don't make any sense. That I'm a woman, I'm not supposed to talk. I'm not supposed to talk in your church. I'm not supposed to ask any question. Said, my husband, he won't even talk to me anyway, and he won't even go to church. She said, it's the Word of God, Harriet. Said, then let it talk. She said, well, I'm telling you what it says. Said, I can't read nor write. She couldn't read a word. Said, I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to take it from you. What it can say. He said, you'd have to learn to read. He said, if it's a word from God, it ought to be able to talk for itself. He said, Herod, I'm telling you, if you don't listen to the Bible, I'm going to turn you into the master. He said, that's what I thought. He said, that's what I thought all the time. He said, you're just trying to, she said, you're just trying to do me in. He said, let me hear that thing one more time. They don't say nothing to me. She opened up and she said, oh, my, that paper, though. That paper does a lot of good. She said, I'll use that at the back house. Now, if you want to hear about the prophets, and they called her Moses. She never named herself Moses, but finally after they called her Moses, because she'd slip in at night, and she learned in her old crackly voice. That was the key to the slaves. What is it? Go down, Moses, way down Egypt land. Tell old Pharaoh to let my people go. They'd hear her in the middle of the night after she'd crawled. She didn't listen to no jackleg preacher. She didn't listen to no Bible. She listened to freedom. She'd get down there and she'd get in the whistle because they got to saying Moses. They named her Moses. And she'd sing it with a crackling voice that said that anybody knew it was her because there's no voice like her. How's it go? I'd love to have a few more Harriets around instead of these Jesus freaks. Ooh. Yeah, we got a lot of people in a white Jesus bag. We need to know who our prophets were. Harriet was a great prophetess. I'd like to have been back there, and maybe I was. Go down, Moses, way down in Egypt land. Tell old Pharaoh, ha ha, She didn't believe a word of that old book, but she took out the spirit of that book. I know some of you look kind of gun shy when you. I told you she put that gun up to her aunt, said, "Move or die." You know why she had to do that? Because she knew the enemy. If that aunt had stepped there, stepped aside, and the old slave masters got a hold of her, they'd have tortured her, and her Underground Railroad would have been told. Everybody would have known. Said, "Herod, you wouldn't shoot me. I am your auntie." She said, "Dead men tell no tales." Oh, here it's God. She's a God. We ought to fill our children's minds with, "Oh," he said, "no, no, no, yes, yes." That's what Jesus said when they took him, when he didn't even know why. He said, "For what good work do you take me?" He said, "For no good work, but because you, being a man, call yourself God." In that 10th chapter, he said, "Ye all are gods." Harriet knew she wasn't going to listen to no Jack Leg or no black white man's book. She was all the God she needed to listen to. And if you've got more God than me, you don't listen to me. If you know more how to raise the dead, spiritually and physically, than me, don't listen to me. Only listen to me if you think you need to. But I'll tell you, you need me now to get a family together that can stand up against Pharaoh. That's why you need me. But if you had more power to do it than I, go do it. Because I'd follow you. But until you can do some things that I do, you better be glad to be in here and be just a member of the family and pull together. Because I remember who it was who got Angela Davis free. Remember when I told him it would be done. And I put my money where my mouth was. I did the same thing with Billy Smith. I did the same thing for many a black political prisoner. I did the same thing for Dr. Daniel Ellsberg, told exactly how he'd be freed without a jury trial. Did the same thing over in Florida today. Didn't know how I was going to do it, but I knew in my mind I was going to get it done. Sure, it may bring about fascism, but I caused Southern jury to let all those young people go because they stood up against the state. The Gainesville trial, black and white of them, black and white, that stood up against this rotten military orders of a rotten regime. There's no place that used to be worse to go to trial than in Florida. But the difference was there was a 13th man on the jury. So who's the 13th man? If you don't know, I'm not going to tell you. So that's what we're up to, is to get in that spirit that she had. Said, "I figured out no Bible's going to tell me anything that makes no more sense than that." But she said, "I do know one thing. I got two choices in this life, liberty or dying. And I'd rather die than not be free." So hold the name of Harriet Tubman high. And I wish you'd get a picture here. I've asked before. I have it in my temple, the Mother Church. Put her up. Because she was one of those that knew God. Even though she didn't know your book and didn't know the white man's religion, didn't like the white man's religion. But she had the spirit that said, "Let my people go." Let me hear you sing it again. "Go down."
married to freedom again while she's singing it. Some of you lost your freedom cry.